Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the Lord will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. 113.
Let us read together for our instruction from the book of the Song of Solomon, chapters 1 and 2. The Song of Solomon, chapters 1 and 2. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold thou fair, my love. Behold thou fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are fir. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Slay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. The Lord bless that portion of his holy word and help us to pray. O thou, gracious and merciful Lord God, as we draw near unto thee, may our desires be for a visit from thyself. We confess our coldness, faintness, feeling far off, all the distance, draw us near. May we know that blessed oneness with our living head. Could it please thee, Lord, to pour out of thy fullness a little drop, a sweeter bedewing upon our souls, that we might be brought to cry unto thee for thee the things which thou art pleased and hast, we believe, prepared for thy people to receive. And may we prove, Lord, that there is a portion for us, a token for good, something which thou art pleased to bestow upon unworthy sinners. We have to confess, O Lord, our many sins, how we have come short, how we have to complain of our deceitful heart, how it does lead us astray, and how we may sometimes think that we are right, only to prove that we are wrong. We may think we are of a humble mind, to prove the proudness of our heart. We may think that we are poor, and yet, and we may think we are rich, and yet, and saying we have need of nothing, and yet are poor. O Lord, how we need to be delivered from the spirit that even thy church can fall into, as the Laodicean church did. But oh, may we hear thy voice. May it be that they're to speak. May it be that they're just come and cause us to rejoice in that precious name of Jesus Christ, that we may be able, before we come to the close of this day, indeed the close of this service, maybe even the close of our prayer, to say that my beloved is mine and I am his. Are these two greater things to ask, Lord? We believe that thou mayest stoop down and hear the plaintive cry of thy destitute, not despise, but rather to sweetly grant their petition. So do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Forgive us of our many sins. Cause us to know the sweets of pardon, that precious atoning blood. May we feel to come to the wise and almighty physician, he who can cleanse us from all sin. Oh, we do pray that we might know the application of the gospel to our own hearts, that we may know the blessings of the word, that it might be meat and drink to us. It may be as a tonic to our soul, that we may be enlivened and refreshed, built up upon our most holy faith, established in the truth. May run with patience the race set before us. May find that our looking unto thee is the very life that we need. Lord, where is life else or otherwise? Do we find it in our desolate, darkened, evil heart? No. Can we find it in this world? Can we find it when the flesh lusts after the things that men seek for? Oh, to find it though in thee. To have a sip of that, from that deep well of love. To know something of those favours all divine. We do pray that thou wilt therefore not let us go as we may have come. If we have come in the blessing of the Lord, may we go then feeling the sweet affirmation upon our souls that it is the Lord. If we have come, though, as may often be the case with thy people, feelingly empty, then may they be filled. Hungry, satisfied, and able to go on their way rejoicing. If, O Lord, we have come, feelingly, prayerless, yet may the prayer be put into our souls, the groanings which cannot be uttered, that we may plead with thee. Oh, then do grant us, Lord, these things. We pray for help in the ministering of the word. How we need that treasure in our earthen vessel. We may feel empty, but may we not stand up as one empty, but rather may have that treasure, that light, that living reality, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We pray that there would help us in our thoughts, be in our thoughts, to bring forth those things that may be for the encouragement, for the blessing of thy waiting people. We do, Lord, desire that there would stir up any that may have come indifferently, careless and unconcerned, that they may have a desire for the things of God. We do, Lord, pray that there would be mindful of those not able to be with us on this occasion. And thou knowest, Lord, their circumstances and where they may be at this time. And thou knowest if there are any that desire to go, to there it may sound more pleasing to their flesh. Or whether there are those, Lord, who are away. We do commend each and every case unto thee. We do, Lord, desire thy mercy upon those in their old age and increased infirmities. May the solemnities of eternity be much with them. Oh, that they may then not go on in that manner which will deaden any concern or bring them at last to be like one who, having obtained the fair crossing with vain hope, then proves there is the way to everlasting perdition from the very gate of heaven. Oh, that it might therefore solemnize their minds and our minds. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt look upon the young, the rising race. They may sometimes think that they can indulge their lusts for a little while, with time on their side. But, O Lord, may we not know that the solemn visitor, death, may come suddenly. O exercise therefore their heart. Oh, that it might be with them, as the hymn writer puts it, when thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand. Lord, do make it an exercise in their souls. And we do desire, Lord, that thou wilt grant them the evidences of answers to their prayers. If they have put up a petition unto thee out of a felt sense of need, may they prove the merciful kindness of thee, that they may say, my God, and so may feel that they are not left without any hope, but that they may have that hope and a hope in the mercy of Christ. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt go before them in all the things that may concern them. There are those right opportunities to be taken and sought for. We do pray that thou wilt make a way for them. And may they be favoured with the varying openings in their life. And may they see thy good hand. Oh, do go before them. If there are disappointments, sanctify those to them. May they see clearly that thy way was far better. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant them also that spirit of submission to thy will and purpose, as things may affect them providentially and in grace. Oh, we do commend them unto thee. We do, Lord, pray for the babes, nurtured. We desire in that nurture and admonition of the Lord, give parents the wisdom to bring up their children as such, and may they be helped to rightly seek for thy blessing upon their little ones. We do, Lord, desire that there will be with those that have suffered loss, the bereaved. Oh, how we do mourn with them. And yet, Lord, we trust that not as some that are not without, well, which are without hope, but rather, Lord, that we may feel that there is that hope, a sweet and blessed hope, an anchor of the soul, that casts within the veil. We would desire, Lord, thy mercies upon thy servants as they labour this day, those that are or have been laid aside and may be in still much weakness, if they venture to minister this day, this morning, do strengthen them, be with them. We pray for those that bear much of the burden, to help them, Lord, in their many labours. We pray for those that bear office in the churches, that they may be helped to do what is expected of them, in that fear of the Lord, in the spirit of humility and love. Do grant, O Lord, thy blessing upon all thy people scattered abroad. Many, Lord, that are unknown to us, but known to thee, we commend them into thy hands. And do have mercy, Lord, upon us in this dark and solemn day. Be mindful of thy little remnant. Oh, do put a hedge about her. Do grant, Lord, that there may be those appearances in the day of trouble, when thou shalt deliver and save us, Lord, from an untoward generation and a nation that seems intent on following the ways of evil. Oh, do appear for our nation. We would commend our leaders that wisdom may be given. They seem bereft of that needful wisdom. Oh, we pray that there would appear then for us. And now pardon us of every sin. All that we've uttered amiss, forgive. We ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 947. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? 947.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to the book of the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, and read in verses 14 and 15. O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have a tender grapes. It had been a winter period with the spells, the Church of God, as seems to be the case in the verses before. When the beloved comes and says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For the winter is over and past. But what winter periods we do enter into by experience. When we feel that all is withered, all brought to nothing, and we're brought to those places where we know not how to come before our God, how to pray, how to present our case, how to plead our cause. Yet we find there is this gracious and blessed encouragement that is given by the Beloved. He speaks it to his dove. How precious she is. And we may be certain that this is the Beloved speaking to his dear one, the church, the people of God, the poor and needy soul who has been brought to desire. And I would just pause to point out as to how this song begins. It does not begin with the Beloved speaking, but it begins with the spells of the Church of God. And there we find that she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She had known something of the blessings of those things from her Beloved. But now she needs reviving. And is that the case with you? The need of reviving? Well, we find that as we may pass on through the verses of the chapters, we come to such verse, such as we have here in our text, when the Beloved speaks and says, O my dove, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance and let me hear thy voice. It's a wonderful thing that our Lord and Saviour bows down his ear to hear the
voice of the plaintive dove. You know that the cry of the dove is often called mournful. But you need never be fearful of a mournful cry. Repentant souls are those that come with their case. They come with a burden. Sin lies heavy on their soul. They desire that they may be able to go where angels lie and live in waters gently roll. But here they have a complaint. Sin hangs heavy on their soul. But the encouragement that the Saviour may speak. For it is the Saviour. There is none other than that can redeem. Who could redeem a Ruth and a Naomi? Naomi from her waywardness, yet now, indeed, returned. She was made ready to return by what solemn means? The death of her husband, the death of her sons. Bitterness she had known, but now she had heard that in the land of her nativity, there was no more famine, but there was food. So she resolved to return, and we know that Ruth, though a Moabite, yet she would cleave to her mother-in-law. She pleaded with her, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to depart from following after thee. So they came together. It is a blessing when there is that union of living souls with the same need, the same longings, the same desires, with the same looking unto the same God. Ah, is this God your God? Is this God my God? Who will bow down his ear to hear his people, to hear his church, to hear those that may feel afar off, but listen, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, we're not made near or brought near by anything else. It's only through redemption. It's only through the one who is able to redeem. As Boaz could redeem the portions of Ruth and Naomi, so only Christ can rescue your poor needy soul. And he has gone to prepare a place for you. He said it. He said it to those disciples. You may say, well, of course they were disciples. They were good followers. See how they had been with him. Being with him in all his trials, troubles and afflictions. But why? There was one who said, Lord, I will go with thee even unto death. Where do we find dear Peter when our Lord was there in the judgment hall? We find he is denying his Lord. But the Lord looked upon him. Bitter tears were to follow, and doubtless the inward cry would resound in the bosom of the Saviour who was there laying down his life for his brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, though we may be sometimes wayward. No excuse to be so, but we are. But what he desires to hear is those penitential words. They may be groans, yet to his ears they are words. They speak of a tried, troubled soul pleading for mercy. And so we have here, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. And what may seem amazing to you and to me is that he says, for sweet is thy voice. We find in the Psalms there are those varying cries that are made which we know are acceptable unto God. The cry of the destitute. He says he will not despise it. For the cry of the prisoner, he will arise. And he will deliver them and set them in safety. He will seek that we may make our vows and call upon the name of the Lord. And he says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will hear thee. That day of trouble, it must come unto us in one way or another. But let us not think that our troubles are just earthly troubles. The Lord may sanctify many an earthly trouble for your spiritual profit. But let us ever remember that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You see, the world have their troubles. But where do they take their troubles to? But has it driven you to bring them to the throne of grace? Has it brought you there that you may cry unto him in a day when he may be found? Found to bow down his ear and to hear your cry and delight to do so. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. Well, when we are brought to repentance and to confession, then what is it we are doing? We are admitting that we have sinned against God, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And when there is that admittance of our sin before God, then he sees in us a heart that is desirous to be pardoned. The hardened sinner doesn't wish to be pardoned. He may want to escape from any punishment, but the criminal in the dock will find it very hard to give way and to confess that he was utterly wrong and that he had committed the atrocities or the evils that he is charged with. Rather, let there be some excuse, or let there be considered we were unable. Diminished responsibilities, they call it. Unable to not submit to this temptation or to this sin. Well, we know, dear friends, because of original sin, the evil lies in us, but we cannot make any excuse before a holy, heart-searching God. We cannot blame him. We have to be brought in measure to say, and if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous Lord approves it well. That is not nature, but broken-hearted. A sacrifice which is acceptable to God. A heart which now is helpless. A heart which knows that there is no good to be found in us, but rather putrefying souls from head to foot, so that our confessions are not just a mere remorse or a sorrow because of how it affects us, but because of a gracious, godly repentance, knowing how we have offended him. But, as we have already spoken with regard to Peter, the Lord looked upon him. And what a look it must have been. Charged him with his death, as Joseph Hart suggests, but a second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. Well, let me hear thy voice. Doubtless, you have already discerned that this was the part of the word that seemed to so rest upon my spirit. O my dove, let me hear thy voice. We may sometimes feel we are too bad, too great a sinner. Do you come at them with those excuses? And so you may. But here is the gracious blessed encouragement to those who feel they are, to use an expression, beyond the pale, beyond any hope. But here the Saviour looks upon his dove, his spouse. In another portion we read this. And when you think of it, on this occasion the spouse was sleeping. In other words, there was no zeal or activity or going out after Christ. Here she was. Settled down, maybe. And the beloved, he comes. And he speaks on this occasion. And the spouse is able to respond because she's heard it before. And she says, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Here we find the condescension of the dear, blessed Redeemer. Oh, how he stoops down, comes to us in all our varying conditions. And though he may speak, we hear his voice, yet so he would hear ours. Well, let me hear thy voice. Perhaps before going further, though, we ought to just consider some of the points that come previous to this particular part of the text. First of all, the very fact that the Lord should speak of his dear one, his church, the particular member of the Church of Christ, and speak of them as my dove. Well, it is that which has been drawn by the affections of the Saviour himself. The dove is often spoken of a bird, of a loving bird. And there is that which is found deep within the soul. He's put it there. A love that would be roused up at his very voice, to bring forth, therefore, those things which would confess our lack of it, our far offness from him, and our desire again to be drawn unto him. What words the Saviour uses. He knows what will touch us. Oh, my dove, but I am a mourner. Here I am, I got nothing to boast of, and nothing that I can speak or praise. Oh, you see, feel that praise is far from your heart. Well, this is what brings forth the spirit of praise when he says, O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, there we are, as it were, hiding ourselves. Here we are, found in the rock from whence we are be hewn. Oh, to consider therefore our Father Abraham, and from whence he was brought out. Oh, to know that there is, therefore, one who may see us, though there we are, in the cleft of the rock. But there is a rock in which we may indeed hide. And there we may find our eternal rest. But as he speaks of those that are found in that covenant, not in that covenant ordered in all things and sure, so he may speak, O my dove that art in the cleft of the rock. It is time that the knowledge of these things are made manifest. It is time that no longer as a secret a disciple, but now let the work shine forth. It is a day when the espousals are known, And there is the bringing forth, therefore, of our soul, as it were, into the glorious light of the Son of Righteousness. How can I speak of these things? Well, if we consider that we have here the bride, or the spouse, the one that the beloved will cherish and look upon. Yet at this particular stage, we may see her as a Rebecca when Abraham's servant had brought her to Canaan, brought her to the place where Isaac would be there in the field. And she inquired as to who it was, who the man was. And the servant, giving her the needful intelligence, she took a veil and put it over her face. Now, you see, there is this to be found in the experience of the Lord's people. And it is found also where there is that right approach and a sensitive sense of the need of being accepted. She was not to be presumptuous. She could not descend from the camel and rush into Isaac's arms. No, she would come in her prudence, in that modesty. She would come as one who still bore the shame of an unmarried, and then the shame until that time came when the desire of the heart would be fully realized in the embrace of Isaac, and also to bring forth the seed, the seed. Well, here then, we may see that Rebecca and Isaac set forth typically something of what is here. And as Isaac may receive Rebecca, what a desire to see her countenance, her face. Now only the Lord can take away the veil. Only the Lord can remove the shame that may be felt on our heart. Only the Lord can bring us to know the blessings of that sweet assurance, the assurance of faith. Faith that may take hold as we read elsewhere of those that took hold upon his garment. Aaron said, we will be, yes, as one to go after him. For these are the ventures that are made by the venturing child of God who brought under conviction and in need of mercy may therefore venture, and how much more when the beloved says, O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let there be the removing, for she has felt the spell so often to be as one that turned aside, yet brought into this blessed felt union and felt communion with her Redeemer. Well, here we then have the bringing of this beautifully about when the sweet and blessed conveyance of the desire of the beloved is known to her. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. He had brought her, she had the knowledge of being brought into the banqueting house. But oh, overcome, so overcome, that she could hardly participate in those things until in this particular state and condition he speaks, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. Well, now we've spoken of the voice of confession. We've spoken of the voice of repentance. That must be a cry that comes from our heart. Here we come to the mercy seat. Here we inquire at the throne of grace. Here we come and touch the holy scepter put forth, the right scepter. We seek to touch the hem of his garment, saying, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made perfectly whole. Here the woman who came, she came behind him. She thought she could be hid from him. She came and touched, but virtue flowed from him into her very being. She knew she was cleansed. The running issue was stanched. She now may seek to hide herself. Who touched me? Who touched me? Who is this one? Let me see this one's countenance. Let me hear the voice. Let there be that coming openly. Well, I must ask you. Has the Lord done anything for your soul? Has the Lord brought you to confession? Have you had to wrestle at the throne of grace? Have you had to cry unto him for mercy? Do you desire to know that cleansing deep within? Or has a sense that he is able to so do and willing being conveyed to your heart? Then let me hear thy voice. Oh, that there may be the testifying of these things. The Lord is ever well pleased to hear the one that is lost and may have wandered far, yet brought again. Nothing more pleasing to the shepherd than to know that that one is to be heard amongst and in the fold, amongst those in, and the one itself now in the fold. Well, let me hear thy voice. Then will we tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour we have found? Again, what does the psalmist say when he is so moved By the blessing that he had received from his Lord? He says this, and just to ensure that we keep it in the context, perhaps I must just go back in that psalm. What had taken place? Well, the psalmist had passed through some deep troubles, and he says this, for thou, O God, hast proved us, Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Then, he says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings and will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Perhaps in the depths of your trouble, yes, your voice gave vent to all your fears and all that your heart felt, the Lord heard it. And now he brings you to this. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. O my dove, my dove that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, those that are there hidden in Christ, those that are thus found in that covenant of his grace, those that may perhaps fear that they can and dare not even so much as make themselves known, lest they be deceived. But you can never be deceived if you are found in that everlasting covenant. You can never be deceived if you are one that the Lord has dealt with and brought to know these things of which we have tried to set before you. You will come in the terms as we have in the following verse. Take us the foxes. Knowing how prone you are to be overcome by the foxes, the little foxes. Those are things that would try and spoil, to take away from you the blessings that you've had, to allure you after things that are of the flesh, to trouble you and to affect the enlivened graces now in your soul. Oh, take us the foxes, a knowledge that the child of God has. The professor would not need or think he would need to take these words. But these words are the response of the Church of Christ, the response of the living child of God. When they hear this word, O my dove, let me hear thy, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. Oh, there's so much that needs to be removed. Those things that you fear might bring dishonor upon him, that might bring you to be as a castaway. Well, this becomes then the cry in your heart, take us the foxes, the little foxes. Do you know everyone that ever ventures to say, come and hear, or what the Lord hath done for my soul will prove that I have to frequently plead, take us the foxes, the little foxes. They're insidious. They come in before we are ever aware of it. We can be easily overcome. But our great consolation is that he knows. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. He knows we are easily overcome. He knows we can do nothing. He knows what a helpless, I was going to say a helpless fool. That is what we feel to be. A helpless fool. But you know, it's often those that know these things that will stand. Bunyan's Mr. Fearing, who went along ever fearful, doubtless of those things that would entrap his feet, so he was often looking there. But doubtless his heart was upward. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. He knew how these things will bring devastation. And Satan, the chief of foxes, would do all he can. If he could ruin the very spirit, and the state that a child of God had been brought into, that is the state of humility. Can you discern a humble spirit within your own self? You may see it in others, but bring it to yourself. What do you have to mourn? My pride. Oh, my pride. Where do we hear one that may boast of his humility speaking of his pride? But where do we find one that is often having to confess the pride of their heart before God and desiring that spirit of humility? Yet the old serpent would do all he could to try and shake you out of such a confession. You do not need to pray against your pride. Why? Is it not obvious that you're just ready for things? There you are, one that would make a wonderful professor. But no, that's a lie. But let the beloved speak. Let there be that sweet and blessed drawling brought about by this, his voice, when he says, O my dove that art in the cleft of the rock, cleft of the rock, he knows where you are, in the clefts of the rock, all of his doves there, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Now, in conclusion, how does he look upon us to say such with regard to the sweetness of the voice and the comeliness of the countenance? First of all, the voice is that which is a faith. Faith given of God, implanted in the heart, utters those things that cannot be understood by the carnal, natural man. But here is the voice and how sweet it is. Will not we, may, find despite the power of unbelief, yet able to acknowledge that God is true and every man a lie. And then, what of the countenance? Well, we have nothing that we can show as being comely, but all our comeliness is in our Lord and Saviour. Our comeliness is found in and by his righteousness. That is what makes us comely. That's what you have to plead. You have to plead his righteousness alone, for you have none of your own. Well, O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, to see that it is one that is of me, one that is brought into that blessed union, one that may know that all that I am to my dear dove, my beloved, my love, my undefiled. This is what I am. It is the beloved speaking. And so we stand alone in that. Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounts to £640, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day. And our Oakington friends hold their New Year's service on Wednesday evening. Now, there's just a short notice about the chapel car park. We are very thankful to report that we've been granted planning permission to extend the car park. We hope completion of the land purchase and the necessary work will take place over the coming months. We still look to the Lord to go before us and can say, having obtained help of God, we continue unto this day. As we mentioned before, the church believes it has sufficient funds to complete this work, but if anyone would like to contribute, we shall have a separate car park fund. The boxes at the ends of the aisles may be used for donations intended for this purpose. Let us close with hymn 1071. Happy soul that free from harms rests within his shepherd's arms, who his quiet shall molest, who shall violate his rest. 1071.
Thank you. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion, that the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.